You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the Relationship Engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.
Of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date, and then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Day Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions.
Welcome to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette.
And Jim.
Today, we have a special little thing for you. We're going to talk about attractiveness, or why is a man attracted to a woman attracted to a person attracted to another person, and why they aren't. Yeah. I'm going to start off with a little excerpt from this book. It's called While Victoria Dreams. It's really hard to hold things in proper perspective here. Anyway, While Victoria Dreams, nice little book by Lisette.
And Jim.
So this is a little story about Lisette on a date.
Victoria
on a date with Mr. 8B, a person that she picked up on an airplane in one of her 300 relationships. It's really, really, really naughty.
Yeah. Unique.
Unique. Naughty or nutty? Well, since what we're going to talk about is related to a car, maybe it's a little nutty.
Okay.
So, when the movie ended...
Because we went to the movie theater.
Victoria went with Mr. 8B. Mr. 8B, that was the seat number where she met the guy. Her companion pulled out the remote from his pocket for the car. He pressed the button to unlock it. Nothing happened. He tapped it, but the device still didn't respond. He kept trying, pressing harder, as it might somehow make a difference. He took a step and pushed, and another, and pushed again. Eventually, he ran out of steps as he leaned the remote over the hood as close as he could get without a response from the car. So, I guess the remote was not working at this point.
Yeah, he's doing like that.
So, Victoria looked around the parking lot as he continued to fiddle with the remote. This is, by the way, in Venezuela, is it not? So it's in a parking lot at night in Venezuela.
Midnight in Venezuela when you can be kidnapped in the day, so at night, double kidnap.
The scene was not very encouraging, looking like something from a horror movie, like one they had just seen. It was midnight, and the parking lot was very dim, almost empty. They both looked at each other. She was beginning to worry. So, she suggests, use the key manually. After all, solving problems was what Victoria did best. No, the alarm's electronic, 8B told her, his voice tinged with frustration. It will make a lot of noise, and it won't let the car start anyway. He had all the reasons why it wouldn't work. Isn't that true? Women have all the solutions, and men have all the reasons why those solutions will not work.
Sometimes.
It can be both.
Yes.
A peculiar way, it actually sounded like he was in that situation before. So, this is not unfamiliar. I wonder if he's just trying to spend time with you in a car that doesn't start. Yeah, but that wasn't
I guess,
the case.
No.
Victoria could only think of the risks of hanging out in that dark, dimly lit parking lot at midnight. The kidnappings, the danger that could take place. So she already had a process to open the car door she had figured out. But she had a voice in her head telling her, you're a lady, and ladies don't know car mechanics.
No.
Well, she knew a lot of car mechanics.
Yeah.
A couple of those 300 people. Oh, I'm sorry, different story. We're almost done here. It's just two little pages. I'm sorry, I'd rather... In her head, she thought... I'm sorry, but I'd rather mess up this date than lose my life, she thought to herself. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, if you're ever in that situation, mess up the date, don't lose your life. I highly suggest it.
You balance, okay?
Balance.
Depends on your
date, life, date, life.
Life. Oh.
You saw the video I sent you? The video I sent you? The woman's visiting the fortune teller?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. That is hugely funny. I wouldn't spoil it.
Okay.
So she snatched the key from the guy, detached it from the key fob, and opened the door manually. Immediately the alarm sounded. Oh, of course. He's gone. I told you so, right?
He was right.
He was right, of course.
Was right.
Victoria inserted the key, opened the hood, disconnected the car's battery contacts.
Easy peasy.
To his amazement, like, huh? What? Never would have thought of that. He stood frozen, his hand still midair from where he had been holding the key before Victoria ripped it out of his hands. Quickly finding something that worked for her, she was looking for, what was this, a piece of wire? Piece of wire, metal on the ground, something that would quickly work for her. She opened the control, bridged the battery in the control to the car using the metal, and disabled the alarm.
Click. Just one spark.
And then you commanded him to turn on the car? I'm sorry, Victoria commanded him to turn
Victoria,
on the car?
Yeah, Victoria, not me. I say, go to the car!
She commanded sharply as she finished adjusting the battery contacts.
And with my head moving like that.
8B jumped from his stupor.
No, did I say that?
Yeah, it does. Jumped from his stupor and followed her order. Not paying any attention. Not stupid. Stupor.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Well, he was stupid too, but that's okay. By the time she was finished, her dress had lost its spring touch, and her hair was mussed up with sweat and grease. Her face had grease smeared on it, no longer that of a vulnerable lady, but that of a woman who rode her horse with confidence in the face of obstacles, knew what she wanted to stay safe, not care about the date, and by that time he was long gone, not from the scene physically, but in his mind as a potential suitor for both of them. Neither of them really thought the other was appropriate. Here ends the reading. Victoria Dreams, chapter Mechanic in Skirt, page 153, 154 in your version of While Victoria Dreams.
So little story. What is the topic today?
The topic is there behavior? Are there things physically that women, men do that make them more or less attractive?
And yes, and this gay, I never hear back from him.
And is it important?
Yeah.
And we always talk about evolutionary biology and psychology and development. Mm-hmm. Evolution is what allows men and women to get to the point today where we are continue to be successful in reproducing and having more offspring and continue as nations and countries and a species.
Yeah.
Is being able to fix a car something that is attractive? Like, if I could fix a car, would you be like, oh, wow, he can fix a car?
Yeah, but also in the movie, you can see a woman mechanic with a sexy short stuff. Maybe for promotion, that's
true.
Sexy. But the real mechanic woman sometimes don't lose like the picture, you know?
Carmen Diaz, right?
Remember, I know this.
Carmen Diaz and Tom Cruise, right? They were in that movie.
Yes, with me.
without me. It's a good movie, by the way. We at least like it.
Yeah.
So, what makes a man attractive? What makes a woman attractive? And again, it doesn't matter if this is a man attractive for a man attractive for a woman, any of these things. There are certain things that are actually the same for men and women.
Yeah. So sometimes the woman like to a strong guy protect the woman, or maybe the man want some beauty curves in the woman.
So what we find interesting is that varies all over the place. We read a couple of studies, and one was that women preferred men who had more feminine features in their face. It was like, what? So you look at that and go, is that true? And in that study, it was true, but it was masculine, overly masculine. So they took faces and they manipulated them with the computer to make the jaw bigger, to make it more masculine, and then they had average men as well. And it turned out that not that masculine, the average woman liked the guy who was more average and less of that over-the-top masculine.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one study, but then they did more studies where they actually also looked at the woman, her self-concept, her attractiveness, or how she felt herself, and then related it to that. And it turned out that the more the woman felt she was more feminine, more beautiful, pretty, and had a really good concept of herself, the more masculine that she liked in what she was attracted to. And we talked about this, and I said, is that opposites? Opposites attract? Could be.
Could be, yeah.
There is a reason for this, too, and we'll get into that in a minute, that all this has to do with reproductive success. You might not know it.
Yeah, it's on your conscience.
It's subconsciously, a lot of attraction has to do with reproductive success. On top of this, and that's what's been programmed into us over a million years of development as a species. We need to figure out how to continue to reproduce. What is the best option for us out there? Another piece, though, that has entered more recently in our life is social media, news, marketing, where we are starting to become programmed what we should accept as being attractive.
That is different.
Which may fight with what we innately think is attractive. It may actually magnify what we think is innately, or it may be the opposite. It may promote something else for some other reason. And because of that, there may be some consequences. But let's go back to why opposites attract.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. So there's something called, you like that one, that word we came up with before? We didn't come up with it. Heterozygosity. Heterozygosity. Zygosity standing for zygote. That is the sperm, egg come together and they form the zygote. Hetero means different. Hetero being the DNA that the sperm's carrying, the DNA that the egg is carrying is different. Heterozygosity, differences in DNA, produce symmetrical facial features and body types that are more associated with what we find attractive, and also which have the higher likelihood of continued reproductive or successful reproduction. Reproductive success. They use in the study RS for reproductive success. Thinking about that, mm-hmm. Let's talk about kings, queens, royal families that have been known to interbreed, you know, stay really close, or tribes that have stayed really close in their breeding.
Or some religion group that tried.
Religion groups that have tried. That what typically can happen is that you end up with offspring that are more asymmetrical, that they have different facial features, their bodies are not as average as the population on the whole. That actual results of interbreeding can be not only the facial and body asymmetry, but premature birth, psychosis, mental retardation, all associated with inbreeding. So facial asymmetry can be associated with these things as well. These things then become less attractive for, on average, right? And rightfully so, because many of these things make it more difficult to have continued reproductive success or success of a species. Yeah. So symmetry of facial features.
It's also beauty.
It's good.
When you read some article about beauty, so beauty is symmetry.
And symmetry is average.
Yeah.
So the most average of all of us are the most attractive to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
That you have, they took a Another study took a bunch of pictures of faces, and they took people with eyes that are wider, turned a little, narrower, noses that are big, noses small, all these, when I say small, compared to average, and they took all of these facial features across cultures, and they said, let's construct one face which is the average of all extremes, and that face was deemed highly attractive across all cultures as most average, most attractive. So the most beautiful of us are the most average So be happy if you're average.
Yes, yes, that is true.
That is true. So we start this whole thing off with that. I think we're going to continue on with what is attractive, mm-hmm. and how to become more attractive. There's other things other than just physical and facial features that will be very interesting to talk about when we come back on 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
See you in a minute.
Soon she went on a perfect date, and then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match, it is in the book.
90 Days Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Days Solutions.
Sorry, welcome back to 90 Days Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
During the break, Lizette said, hey, wait a minute, how does the story of
Victoria in the car fixing with a lot of fish her face? Oh.
It doesn't. Uh-huh. But there are physical aspects, and then there are interactive social value beliefs. There's the qualities that are also things that are, quote, attractive, not attractive. And some of those things are more of the long-term things. So long-term, you having similar families, not the same family, but similar types of families, similar religious beliefs or beliefs in general. We talked about that. Beliefs are more important than religious beliefs. Education, beliefs about physical fitness. We talked about college education or education. Beliefs about money, about family, about just general values and beliefs have a lot to do with long-term success of a relationship and the attractiveness that two people find with each other once these other things wear off. So, going back to this is that this person, Mr. 8B, who is not finding Victoria's mechanic abilities attractive, maybe has no mechanic abilities himself, doesn't value it.
It's for both. So for Victoria, don't want to feel attracted with some guy, then no action or no freezing in critical situation.
Helpless.
Yeah. And then for the guy, the woman acting like the more strong the guy, maybe is not attractive also. So that is the point that we like to share.
So beyond that, I think a couple episodes ago we spoke about when you first meet somebody, they're on their best behavior, you're on your best behavior.
In the promotion time.
In the promotion time. And the best way to get beyond the promotion time is to put someone under a stressful situation where their real personality comes out. So now I want to ask, did you like do this to the guy's car just to see how he acted?
I did before. And he said, go to the bathroom. I disconnect the battery. Yeah.
I don't recommend that. But hold on. I don't recommend that. But it might be helpful. Who knows?
Yeah, you know? I test him. So I don't want to waste my time the second day. So in the first day, go. Pass or no pass.
And at the end, you just go, it's a prank. I'm just kidding. Here's all the people. Here are the cameras, you know.
Yeah.
And you'll see how they react to that. And if they like
and
pranks.
And the second prank,
Oh, my.
Terrible.
But these types of situations is what brings out character, brings out personality, brings out values and beliefs. If the guy's belief is that I need to be more masculine, but I'm not really that masculine, then I need a woman who's even less masculine. But I'm sure there are guys that would be like, oh, well, look, she's a mechanic in a skirt. And that's very intriguing.
Yeah, somebody is feel attraction or reject. Depend of the.
It doesn't mean it goes both ways, though, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that mechanic in skirt is going to find you attractive, going, oh, thank you for fixing my car.
And call me again when they have a problem. But no,
my phone's not working. Can you fix my phone now? I'm out of data.
Yeah. And then with somebody.
I'm with somebody. Can you help my phone?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So it is interesting is that we were talking about the facial features and body type. We'll leave that alone for a moment. What What leads you to believe, let's try that again. What made this situation unbearable for you? So what, like, I know it was just a short snippet, but when you thought about it, like, say if the guy wanted to see you again, mm-hmm. or is it just because the situation brought out an attitude of him or an interaction? How did that create a, I have no interest now?
Repeat the question.
So is one little example like this enough?
Okay.
Where you say, you know what, I have no interest in this person.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I know in my person auction, I know filtering the first time. Mm. But you have so many point down. Okay. So maybe the next day. And also, I guess that we have the second day, but I delay for take-up because I was so busy, you know, I postpone.
Right.
And then we did, and then we become friends because we know that that is not the attraction for relationship. But that is the way how it works. So, you know, immediately cut because maybe he have the bad day or maybe he have a problem, maybe he feels sick, whatever.
Yeah.
You cannot caught in the head in the first situation, but you have more information.
What was his, if you don't mind, what was his job? Like, what did he do for a living, if you remember?
He's a business guy. He have a company.
So, like, he may have been good in that, running the business, but didn't care about
mechanics. Don't care about any situation, yeah.
How about exercise? Did he like exercise, physical exercise? No. Was he attractive?
A little bit.
Oh, okay. So sometimes attractiveness, facial features, mm-hmm. or whatever,
yeah.
do not turn into more.
And also this is interesting. Yesterday when I fly, you know, I flew.
Yeah.
And I see the flight attendant is a man. And then when you talk about the, he have a big John and he's a John attractive guy.
Okay.
And I say, oh, that's he's an attractive guy. But he never smiled. He also was never take care of us. I'm in the first class and I have my glass for almost up to the end. I have to put in some way because it's like close everything. And he lose complete the attraction for me.
Sure.
When I see his face and he's so angry and he not take care. And it's a balance between you have a physical maybe attraction somebody, but your stuff coming down when you have the first connection. So
maybe, and this is interesting mm-hmm. because that was another study that mm-hmm. we looked at, was that some women are interested in men who, remember this, they didn't know the guy's feelings for them. And they were more attractive or most attracted to a guy who they couldn't tell. Do they like me? Do they not like me? And this was weird.
It's weird because I don't feel like that.
I'm more attracted when I don't know if a guy does or doesn't like me. You know, that was strange.
I don't know, maybe happened by the statistic.
But let's talk about this guy for a moment. Maybe mm-hmm. he's on a plane, he's attractive. So many beautiful women are always trying to make conversation with him that he has to act this way to not give them the wrong idea.
He talked with the guys.
Okay,
no, I don't
because
say
it was
that,
safe,
but
you know?
He
didn't
talk for anybody.
Okay.
So he was really insulated in the corner with the phone, so he never...
Maybe he was concerned for his voice.
Who knows?
So the reason I say that is that there is more study about attractiveness, and one thing had to do with voice, that men, and this I'll just go back to men with lower voices were found more attractive by women with higher voices and vice versa. Men with lower voices were more attracted to women with higher voices.
Mm-hmm.
Higher voiced women also were associated with certain traits of symmetry, of body shape, and things that turned into being a little bit more attractive and feminine. And men with lower voices also were attributed to more masculine traits. Mm-hmm. So a lot of these things fit, the voice and the body. Like, for instance, we were talking...
And the attitude, so it's the pain.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, like a guy who thinks he's too attractive is probably a big turnoff to some women.
Yeah.
And a woman who thinks she's too attractive, you know, turns into having so many guys... As a younger person, I used to think of this all the time, is that very attractive women had so many guys try to ask them out and want to date them that they at some point just got really angry at guys. And so they became tough. And there's another word that I'm not going to use, but you would see this attitude and you're like, okay, never mind. I'm not even going to approach her because, you know, one is there's so many guys interested and because she has this attitude.
Yeah, I hear a radio show in the car, the question about ugly guy versus a handsome guy. Mm-hmm. And the some woman called to the radio and they say, I prefer the ugly because it's more friendly, it's more easy to, he take care of you. The attractive guy sometimes is arrogant, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, sure. This makes sense. And also the woman say, and if you have low risk, that some other woman be attractive for your
sure.
man. So.
Well, the other is...
The ugly guy.
Looks are temporary, but 401k is supposed to last a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Huh? Huh? An endowment. You're looking for someone well endowed. And by that, I mean has a lot of money, like an endowment, you know?
Okay.
It's a little bit of a joke, but let's talk about that endowment being their personality, their values, their beliefs. These are things that really turn into... relationship riches.
Yeah, yeah.
The wealth of a relationship is based upon these things that match. We're talking about the high-low voices and that. There was others that it turned out that the lower the woman's voice was and the higher the men's voice was, that they kept being like the differences were attracting. And so, but it was differences of how far away people were from average. That if one person's voice was this far lower than average, they'd be most attractive to a voice this much above average. They wouldn't be most attracted to the ones with really high voices. But I think it was that if your voice is lower, maybe you heard everyone's voices as higher, and therefore it actually pushed the range closer together. Because if average is this far away, then someone with a high voice, you know, a voice that's much higher, doesn't sound as high to you as if you're really close to average and someone has a high voice. You're close to average. You understand what I'm saying?
What are you saying? I don't hear you. And that's
all right.
What happened.
What?
Sorry.
Personality again.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to this is the, and I'll call this threshold. We talk about threshold when it comes to visual, hearing, sense of how much something has to change in order for you to notice it. The larger your difference is from average to begin with, the less you'll notice a small change. The closer you are to average, the more you will notice the change. It's like the, what is that called? Average and deviation, standard deviation. How much that voice deviates from a standard deviation from where you are, it's easier to perceive something when a little bit of difference to you means a lot. So going back to high-low, maybe a high voice doesn't bother me, and maybe I'm more attracted than somebody whose voice isn't as low because they hear that high voice is really high, but my range has been squashed by the difference. So I don't want to go over and over the sound thing, but listen to your own voice. Listen to where you are and see what you find attractive. Is it really the voice? Well, studies show voice is another thing.
Yeah, I hear some people don't like hear their own voice.
Oh.
And this is happening for me.
Recording of your own voice or when you're speaking?
When you're speaking and then you listen and
yeah.
the song stops, you say, oh my God,
I sound... That's what I sound like?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, and this is how yeah. people, average people thinking about that.
Because when you speak, it's hard to hear yourself because it's mm-hmm. resonating in your ears
yeah.
and it's different than when you only hear the sound coming towards you. And I understand that completely. So that was a little bit about the physical, the situational attractiveness. Situations can help magnify.
Yeah, yeah. But also I like to put in the top the program between woman and man the society has.
Okay.
Because I say in this time, let me, this story is about maybe 20 years ago or less, 18 years ago, when I grew in one home, when my mama put me, you have to be independent. You have to do everything for your own.
Okay.
You did that. And then the woman becomes so strong and sometimes don't let the men open the door of the car because I am strong.
I can do it myself.
I can do myself, or right. I'll help for your suitcase. No, I can do that. So you become more blocking to connect with men. And then you, sometimes I hear friends, they say, oh, I don't, this man is so weak. But you're not allowed to be a lady with a man because you want to show that you are strong. So it's something that I learned for my own. Mm-hmm. And also one of the I practice with you is allow the open the door of the car. And I waiting for open the door of the car. This remind me that I am lady, that I can be with men. Not necessarily I am weak. I lose myself.
Yeah. Well, the other part of it is I keep your door locked until I come out and open it. And that's the way to keep you in the car. You know? This way I get to open the door for Lizette because I keep it locked. Keep her locked in.
It's a training practice.
No, a little electrode on the door. Zip.
Yes.
I have to open it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how it works.
So that is my view. What is the view for the man?
From the man side is I don't mind. Like when you see a woman doing things for herself, mm-hmm. And I remember this from, let's say, 20 years ago. You know, here's a woman, she's relatively attractive and very friendly, and we converse regularly, and she takes care of things on her own. And you think, oh, she's independent, she's not looking for a guy because she takes care of everything on her own. It's not like, hey, Jim, mm-hmm. can you help me with this? It's like, oh, I got it. I'm like, okay, she doesn't want me to help her. That means she doesn't like me.
Yeah.
Which is, hey, can you help me with this? So you almost have to play the game at some point, right? Pretend I need your help.
No, but that's his part. So maybe the message for people is believe that if you don't need you, it's not love you, it's not necessary. So
both sides have to be learned. Yeah. One is, if somebody doesn't need your help, it doesn't mean they don't love you. Mm-hmm. And you need to recognize when you're purposefully keeping someone away from helping you. I know I do that all the time. I got it. Sometimes I feel that someone wanting to help me is a sign of they think I don't know what I'm doing. And I got this. You know, so that is something I know you deal with
like
all the time.
I show, so I try and they just say, I got it.
Huh? What? What are you talking about? Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about. We don't know what we're talking about ever, but we talk about it anyway. Because that's what we do on 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
And we'll be back after this with more talk.
And attraction.
Once upon a time, there was a couple and a newborn baby. Or should I say, a single mum. This brave young lady left her 9-to-5 job to follow her passion and started a consulting business. Her friends helped out. She travelled the world, met new people, and again came home. The woman dated to find a man who would fill her life and fit her plan. She met a guy who checked out ladies. That burned her up. That made her crazy. Other guys were full of verve. Into their self, no room for her. And one time she met a man with patch over eye and axe in hand. Then one day she had enough. Her little boy was all grown up. Tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date. And then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Days Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Days Solutions.
Welcome back to 90 Days Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
So we're not exactly sure where we're going in this program because it's kind of going a little bit in a couple of directions. We started off talking a little bit about, well, one is the
history about the book.
History from the book about Victoria and Mr. 8B, who was the date that Victoria picked up on the airplane. just happened to be interesting enough to go on a date. The struggle of getting stuck in a parking lot, a dangerous parking lot, outside a movie theater at midnight in Venezuela, worried about crime, worried about saving her life, Victoria chooses fixing the car over respecting the guy's wanting to be the guy, or actually maybe he wasn't capable of being the guy. But we started there with the interplay of personalities and backgrounds and what you're capable of, and how that may be not something, like the physical attractiveness was there enough to have the date. But then you started to get under the stressful situation.
Yeah, and also the interesting part of these histories, exactly my best friend told me, because I always dress in like the pen and this, and she said, you need to change. This is, you have one opportunity with one interesting guy.
Yeah.
Why you don't have a dress and a high heel versus the, for show the feminine your size. So I also over prepared to show something that maybe
wasn't true.
I said 100% true, you know, because I was in promotion
time. Okay.
So, and it's just obvious somebody wanna show the best in your first day. But you don't have to lose yourself when you are in this. So you can show the best, you know, how you dress, you take care, but you really are this person too.
So the attractiveness that we give off, which part of it is how we actually look and physically, and that can't be changed a lot. Our tone of voice is kind of difficult. So we talked about how you present yourself in another show where we talked about the what was it called? The body language. The body language you have and the tone of voice are huge. So body language and physicality come from your ability to move around. The body language is your expressions, your expressiveness, your facial expressions. The how congruent your movement is with what you're saying, how it seems that you're being honest and genuine with what you're saying because your body language supports it. There's nothing I dislike more than when I see a politician and they're doing this and they're, it's like something that they've practiced for. It's just be yourself. Your arms should support.
But other people don't follow.
Don't be yourself, because if yourself, no one. That's for politicians.
Yeah.
Politicians, be yourself, because then no one will follow you anymore. We started with that, and then we rolled a little bit into what men and women, what people find attractive, and we said it how it's very similar. Men and women find things attractive similarly, but the proportions of what they find attractive is different. Again, for men, they find waist-hip ratio of a woman as a sign of attraction or not attraction. For women, they find waist-hip ratio of a man, something that will determine if a man is attractive or not. But the proportion is different. So the man likes a little bit higher hip-to-waist ratio, and a woman likes a little bit more solid hip-to-waist ratio. That they say women actually like a man with more strong legs for whatever reason. Maybe because he's more stable.
Yeah.
Maybe because there's some strength with that. And again, it's
true.
It is.
Yeah, I think in a skinny lad versus a strong lad is different. Yeah.
A lot of that can be just subconscious. And again, this could be a woman attracted to a woman, man attracted to a man. It could be any, but these are the things that sometimes are high on the generality. These are the average people find these traits attractive, again, because we're a species that have had millions of years, or 10, one of the two, of evolution, and our success of continuing to reproduce is based upon these things that have worked.
So
what we find attractive is really weird. What we find attractive is really what is best to keep the species continuing to reproduce. So it's really tied to reproduction. So attractiveness is tied to sex. Wow, that's new.
I guess
but it's also something that's innate and inborn until it became more than that. So we talked about symmetry of the face, mm-hmm. and how that's associated with not being inbred. We talked about heterozygosity, mm-hmm. meaning different DNA for sperm and egg, making a zygote that has different, hetero, different DNA. And the more varied the DNA from different population groups, from different DNA, the outcome, the offspring, are more likely stronger, more average, more able to survive than inbred. Again, facial symmetry that's not symmetrical could be a sign of inbreeding, psychosis, potentially mental retardation. And don't take generalities as being the law, because it doesn't mean that for everyone. There are lots of individuals who this means nothing. This is just generally, and this is why we find these things attractive, because this is what worked for us as a species for a million years.
Yeah, yeah.
Today, though, there are two things. Socially, social media, marketing, news stations, TV shows, all this, have created the new sense of what attractive is.
Try to promote a new science.
Some of it is for marketing and to make money. Some of it is because we are now more cerebral, or we think we are. We think we care more and we have more empathy, and so how we think of attractiveness has changed rather than just purely animal type. And also something that I was noting before in my notes here was that some of these things that may lead to poor reproduction success in the future, such as premature childbirth, where a child's born at 4 or 5 months rather than at 9 months. Today and over the last number of years, medical science has developed so well that there are more and more children that have these traits that have then been able to be saved and grow to adulthood, which means that if that is part of their DNA, premature childbirth, that there could be more and more of that, which ultimately, whether it's good or bad, maybe premature children are smarter. Maybe it adds to our success of the species. But we talked about mixing, more mixing cultures.
Yeah.
Cultural mixing.
Yeah. More mixing sometimes create some progress.
Progress.
Yeah.
That you bring language, and we didn't even bring it into the show, and we'll devote a whole show on this, but language, the science of language, the development of language in the brain is so important on what you recognize, how you organize your thoughts, how you construct new sentences, imagination. The more words, the more ways that you can structure it, the laws of your language create how you think. Mm-hmm. And so we think completely differently many times.
Yeah.
And very similarly.
And it is good.
It's very good. So best long-term success in attractiveness in a relationship is values, beliefs, traits, personality, humor. We didn't talk about humor, but humor was found to be highly attractive for many. But I'm guessing that's in moderation. Mm. Too much humor.
Sometimes not.
Stop. Yeah. Right. So we are in relationships, we start off on promotion time. And we all try that. And what we're far from our real personality. We may be far for how we normally dress. You said like you dress in a dress.
Yeah.
Look, you still are wearing nice outfits. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it's part of the contract we have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every appearance, Lizette must dress attractively for the appearance as we go on our shows, on our tours. All right, forget that. Activities. Do activities with people that put you in different situations help determine long-term attractiveness?
Yeah, definitely.
And what are some of those?
Activity together to do show, running, book, exercise,
okay.
Dinner.
Fix a car
together.
Shovel the snow.
Yeah.
Go hiking, go camping if that's what you like. But that's two things. It's one is
bicycle, yeah.
Do you find something you like? Do it together.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing that activity together, you're changing the environment. You're changing your point of view. And you can see that other person in a way that you might not be able to see them if you're just sitting at a table having a date and a dinner. I know we joked about meet their family as soon as possible, because how their family is, how their friends are, will be how they become over mm-hmm. time. We talked about that as well. What else did we want to talk about?
Breathe.
Attract what you... Oh! So, I always attract women who are sarcastic to me.
Why? Because
Why?
You are?
Because I'm sarcastic?
Oh, no.
But that was your note there, which is, do you attract what you recognize? You recognize yourself in the other person, and therefore you're attracted to that. And if it's a trait you don't like,
it's because maybe you are like that.
And you might not like your own trait. Like, mm-hmm. I don't like that I do this, but I do this a lot. I see somebody else, I'm attracted to them. And then over time, I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't like them either. I don't like me, I don't like them. Mm-hmm. But now...
You are married.
You're married. Seven kids.
Yeah.
Three dogs. Eight
yeah.
cats.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough for us.
So watch out what you feel attraction with somebody, because maybe you learn something about yourself.
Which brings us to the other book, which is the 90 Day Soulmate book, which is an area where you can write down how you feel about yourself, what you feel about your personality, your beliefs, your values. And you can look at what you find or think you'd find attractive long-term. Long-term, I want a relationship who may be a little sarcastic, but will recognize these other traits as well.
So I love that you are so smart. Oops.
I don't know what that means.
Okay.
Oh, that I recognize that. Okay, I got it. Into discussion relationship, traits, beliefs, value. Oh, that was one. So discussing the actual relationship. Can we talk about where we are in our relationship? Oh, no. I just like going out with you. Well, is that going to become long-term? Or like, you know what? I really like this relationship. Sure. What do you want to talk about?
Mm-hmm. You know? But it depends what you want. You want to just have one or two days with this person?
Sure. Forget that. Just
yeah, no, I'm not talking. Yeah.
Don't ever give them your real name either.
Yeah. And then the wrong number.
The wrong number. Here's my phone number. Hey, wait. They're calling me again. But the point of this is, whole thing is understand that activities, that things that happen, like the car and not starting, are things that become defining moments in your relationship with you and others, or you and family, you and friends, is that when you are in these situations, you really learn about yourself and about others. The dress you put on for the date is unimportant. What is real important is survival, is independence and knowing when to select, you know, I must do what I need to do because of this reason, and not worrying about what the other person thinks, finding out later how they reacted to that. If they said, you know what, you did the right thing and I fully support you, you know, that person's a keeper. If they say, I can't believe you fixed the car and you got your dress dirty.
Mm-hmm.
That means stop the relationship.
It might come to different.
A Venezuelan okay. bow tie.
Yeah. By the way, I never see again the guy.
Any case, we hope we brought you some interesting information here on 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date, and then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.